praise and magnify him tonight. Lift up your voice. Give God all the praise that he's worthy of. Clap your hands, all your people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Glory, glory, glory. We rejoice in the gentleman that was baptized Friday evening over here. Brother Cliff had Bible study and they put him down in the water in Jesus' name. And what a great thing. Great day to come into the kingdom of God. I want you to pray with me. I contacted some of our churches in the Lake Charles area tonight. I spoke with someone over there and just trying to figure out if there's something we can do to help them, because that area experienced a great deal of destruction and they haven't really dug out from under the rubble yet. But if we could send a truckload of supplies or something, just something to help them, we want to do that. And you know, if I ask you tonight, there'd be 8 or 10 of you that want to jump on a truck with chainsaws and go and cut stuff up and that kind of stuff. But I don't know what they need, so they're going to get back with me. But be in prayer for them. The church there in Lake Charles, Brother Treese, Brother and Sister Treese, and about 60 of their church folks have COVID. So they're back to all online, and they're just have, and then they have that storm on top of that. So just lift them up in prayer and pray God's health and strength on them. So we're really excited about what God is doing and the prospect of being a part of the kingdom of God tonight. We thank God for the wonderful testimony about Brother Blash this morning. And we're believing that God is going to give him healing throughout his body. What a precious guy in the kingdom of God. And we're trusting God for him. So those are things that we're excited about tonight. And just the presence of God. I appreciate the praise group and the good worship and the presence of God in this house tonight. What a blessed people we are to be able to gather, that we live in a place of abundance and that we can come together and we can worship God. And I've been to church in barrios and Nipah huts and really challenging third world situations. And I'll tell you, it's better to worship God here, but you need to give God all of your heart as you're worshiping him. And give God thanks for all the many, many blessings in your life. Can you say amen? Praise God. I love what God's doing in Brother Jermaine, and I appreciate him so much. And I'm so glad he's going to be preaching in this house tonight. And I want him to take his liberty. Why don't you just extend your hand toward him and tell him, preach to me, preacher.
Somebody lift up a shout of praise unto God right now. Lift up your voices right now. Clap your hands, all you people. But why don't you put your voice with it? Somebody raise your voice in this house. Lift up a shout of praise in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you, oh God. We've come to praise you, oh God. We've come to open up the book again, oh God. We've come to sing the songs again. We've come to lift you up, oh God, in the house of the Lord. So good to be in God's house on a Sunday night. My God, so good to be among God's people. Praise God, the people that we love the most. So glad to be here preaching the word of God. I'm so thankful for everything that God is doing in this house. And I just want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Mighty God, mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Somebody say amen. Praise God, praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse 15. Very familiar passage of scripture. The Bible says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint, and Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibachai, the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giants. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, which Elhanan, the son of Jeorajim, the Bethlehemite. What a name. What a name. Praise God, baby. Don't put that on the list. Slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Winston Churchill said, "The price of greatness is responsibility." I just want to preach to us and let somebody know that there are giants that belong to you. There are giants that belong to you. If you would put your Bible down, I want everybody to lift up your voice right now and pray aloud. Somebody cry out to God. Pray that God would move in this service. God, we need you, Jesus. Your word is anointed, oh God. God, you're all powerful, oh God. You can do all things, oh God. We come to magnify you. We've come to lift you up. We've come to dig into your word, oh God, your word that's forever settled in the heavens, oh God. I pray that you would move in this place. I pray, oh God, that the words that come out of my mouth, oh God, would direct themselves to a person that's in need, oh God. I pray that your spirit would continue to move in this house. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let them be acceptable in thy sight, Jesus. You're my strength and my redeemer. Let everybody say, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise as you're seated. There are giants that belong to you. The Bible spends a decent amount of time describing giants, making sure to give exact details so that the reader understands that there is a significant difference between the giant compared to the rest of humanity, from the height of their stature, the weight of their armor, to the clothing that they wore. The Bible chronicles these details and gives us a clear picture of what a giant was. There's mention of giants throughout the Old Testament, but none more common than Goliath. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." So day in and day out, this giant Goliath would torment the people of God. The Bible says that morning time and evening time, for 40 days, that Goliath would defy the armies of the living God, and no one would fight him. This intimidating giant whose stature was far too great for anyone in Israel's camp. This superhuman man who was no doubt a warrior. But all of a sudden, the writer shifts the light off of Israel and Goliath and places it back in Bethlehem on a boy by the name of David, the young shepherd boy. And we understand that David was a shepherd and he went out and he took care of the flock of his father, Jesse. And David was minding his business and doing what he was supposed to do. And David was out tending the sheep and his father came to him and he told him, he said, I want you to go and I want you to take some food to your brothers. And he grabs the food and the next morning he puts somebody in place with his sheep and he makes sure that his business was taken care of. And he took off towards the battle with 10 pieces of cheese or 10 things of cheese. And he goes to this battle and as he gets to the battle, he encounters his brothers. And as he talked to his brothers, he heard the chants of Goliath, the same chants that they had been hearing for 40 days, the same chants that they had heard rehearsed 80 times. Send me a man that I may fight with him. You don't have anybody in your arsenal. You don't have anybody that's going to be able to stand against me. But what Goliath didn't know is that there was a David who had been fighting on the backside of a hill and he had been building a relationship with God and he had been building war and he had been building the exercises and the arts of war and he had learned how to be a warrior. And he heard him one time and he went and inquired and everybody ran away. And he went and he said, what's going on? Who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy that thinks he can defy the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? I don't care what size he is. I don't care how tall he is. He's up against the Lord and I'm on the Lord's side and I'm willing to fight and I'm willing to not let this happen on my watch. Somebody got to get an attitude tonight in the kingdom of God. And he said to him, he said, listen, I'll fight him. And news spread throughout the camp and Saul called for David and David goes and he tells Saul, Saul, I understand that everybody else is afraid, but don't let your heart faint not because I'll fight for him. And he goes and he says, Saul, listen, I'll fight him. And Saul says, see, you don't understand, David. You are about to get killed. You have no clue who you're going up against. This man has been a man of war from his youth, and you are nothing but a youth. I'm telling somebody right now, let's put it in park real quick. Young people, hear me right now. If God is on your side, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You can stand against a man that's almost 10 feet tall. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. You can stand up because God is on your side. And he starts to rehearse all of the reasons why not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A lot of times we don't need a Saul to tell us the reasons why not, because we can just run it in our head. I can't do this because, I can't go here because, I can't do this because it's too great for me. But I'm telling you, when you get on the Lord's side and when you start fighting for God, you can do anything that God allows you to do. You've got to stand up in the power of God, bold as a lion, willing to fight anything that comes against you. And so Saul tells him why he couldn't. And David, the next response of David is David said, there was a day. Let me tell you a little story. There was a day where I was tending my father's sheep and there came a lion and a bear. You see, what David was doing was David was dismissing all of the other stuff that Saul was talking about. And he said, you know what? Let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what God has done for me. God saved me from a lion. God saved me from a bear. And then he told him, he said, this Philistine is going to be just like those two. You see, you walk a little bit different when you got a testimony in your pocket. You walk a little bit different when this is a personal experience. You walk a little bit different when you untether from dad and untether from mom. You walk a little bit different because you know God can do it for you. So David is walking And all along, he's got this little secret in his pocket because nobody was there to see it. And so when he had an opportunity to let somebody know, not boastful, but he just wanted to tell somebody how good his God was. That's why you got to have a testimony. Young people, you got to get it for yourself. That's why you've got to have a testimony that says, God is real and God is good. I know my mom says it, but I've walked this just a little while and I understand. You walk with a little swagger when you got that testimony in your pocket. You walk in a little boldness when you got that testimony in your pocket. When you start to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries. If you got a testimony, you ought to be on your feet right now. You ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. Anybody got a testimony? Has God done anything for you? He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He put food on your table. That's why you gotta pray every day and thank God. You gotta show gratitude. You gotta wake up thanking God for everything that's in your life. You got to wake up thanking God for your wife. You've got to wake up thanking God for your husband. It's going to be difficult for you to argue all the time if you wake up in the morning and say, thank God for my wife. Thank God for the blessing that she is. Thank God for all that she does. You got to rehearse that stuff. You got to go back and remember where God brought you from. You see, nobody can tell you, I don't care if it's King Saul, nobody can tell you any different when you've got a testimony and when you've experienced this thing for yourself. And so he started telling him what God had done in his life. And that's what we need to do in the street. People are going to talk about all of the issues of the day and everything that's going on. But if an apostolic would stand up and say, God has been so good to me. God has been good to me. I know that there are things that are going on in the world, but I don't have a sad song to sing because God woke me up this morning. God started me on my way. God put food on my table. God put clothes on my back. God put money in my pocket. It's hard to tell you any different when you've seen the miraculous hand of God in your life. Young people, don't miss it. Look around for every time when God's trying to show you something, and we may miss it because we're so focused on ourselves. But when you just open up your eyes and look around you, you're going to be able to see, man, I should have been dead right there. I should have had an accident right here. But God, somebody stand up and say, but God. You need to plug in your testimony right now. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but God. God, my God. So he started telling him his testimony. And after he told him his testimony, I guess he had Saul convinced. Because Saul said, okay, you're eager, you're young, you don't understand. Just go do it, whatever you want to do. I can't tell you how this is going to turn out. But what I am going to do for you is I'm going to give you this armor because you can't be a warrior unless you're wearing this type of clothing. You can't go out to battle unless you've got that helmet on, unless you've got my sword in your hand, unless you're doing it just the way that everybody else was doing it. But the way everybody else was doing it wasn't happening right then because everybody else was afraid and everybody else was running away from Goliath. But someday there came a David who said, listen, I haven't proven these. I haven't tried these on. I know what works for me. I've got a spear. I mean, I've got a staff in my hand. And I've got a sling in my other hand. And I'm going to the battle with God in my heart. And I'm ready to take on the wiles of the devil. And we know the story. He goes to battle without the armor that everybody else wears. When God is trying to use you, he might not do it like other people. when God is trying to use you, you have a unique testimony. You've got a fingerprint, and it might not be like your neighbor. That's why we've got to stop looking at everybody else and what everybody else is doing and just get on board with the things of God for my life. I got to figure out what God is doing in my life. Stephen, I know you've got a great ministry, but God's doing something in my life, and I've got to recognize I might not be like him and I might not be like you, but God's going to use me in the way that he purposed and destined to use. Use me. Somebody clap your hands all over this house. So he goes to the battle and Goliath starts to taunt him. He asks him the question, basically said, what are you doing here? I'm sure he laughed at him, and I'm sure he's wondering, what is this kid doing in front of me? And David understood that he had something that Saul didn't have. He said, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. When you get the name of the Lord on your side, you can rest assured that God is going to bring you out. When you get on the right side of God and you get the name of the Lord on your side, you don't have to take anything else to the battle. You've got everything that you need in order to get a victory for the kingdom of God. You've got to stand up in the power of God and the anointing of God and walk as a child of God because you've got the Lord's name on your side. He goes and he goes and gets five smooth stones, and we know the story. He grabbed these stones and he goes to the battle. Goliath is looking at this guy like, you don't even have any armor on, and Goliath has somebody carrying his spear way ahead of him. And he picks up one of those stones and they charge at each other, and he takes one of those stones out and puts it in the sling and throws it, and it hits Goliath right in the middle of the head, and he falls on his face. And we know the story. He takes Goliath's sword and he cuts his head off and he holds it up and he lets the people know that God wrought a great victory. He lets the people know it's not about my talent. It's not about my skill set, but God was on my side. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know when you know that there wouldn't be any other way, but God stepped in right on time. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. David kills Goliath, and this is a big moment in the word of God, a big moment in the whole of human history, because a giant had never been killed on this wise, and he's walking, and he's going to battle after battle, and battle after battle, and David is getting victories, and he's winning, and he's on the Lord's side, and he's doing all of these things. But I want you to know today that giants have a remnant. And giants oftentimes have an offspring. You see, there will always be a giant defying the church of the living God. Back at our text, 2 Samuel chapter 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint, and Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And we know David is used to battle. David is used to war. This is second nature to him. Battle after battle, victory after victory. Remember, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. Not able to find anyone that could stand against him and the God that he served. He was used to being able to depend on the sling that he had used so many times before. He had it on automatic. All I can see with my mind's eye is David going to use the same tactics that he used before, but it falling short this time. He found himself in a position that he had never been faced with before. The Bible says that David waxed faint, because life wears the body out, and war and battle wears the body out, and Father Time is undefeated. Young people, do as much as you can for as long as you can. Go as far as you can go, as long as you can do it.
Because there's going to come a day when you're not able to go like you used to go. And you're not able to do what you used to do. And you're not able to pull up to the basketball court and play game after game. I'm a living testimony. You wake up and it hit a little different. Because you're getting up in the morning and it's, you hear creaks and I'm 31. I'm hurting a little bit. He said, cry me a river. And David at this point in his life, David at this point in his life is worn down. The Bible said he waxed faint. This has never happened before. That's why we got to work while we got time. That's why we got to do everything that we can do with our strength, young people. That's why you got to get up and you've got to do the work of God right now. That's why you don't need to wait. They say that youth is wasted on the young. But I need somebody to defy that right now and use your youth to do the things of God. I need a young person right now to stand up in all of the strength that you have and give God praise. Somebody take a lap right now because you're able. Somebody tag an elder right now and take a lap around the church and tell them, I'm running for you. I know if you were running, you were able to run, you would be running right now. Praise God. Because there's going to come a day when there's a giant that you just can't hang with. My dad told me like this. He probably won't remember this. He had a whole bunch of gems growing up, but we was talking about fighting. And he told me, son, I said, nobody can beat him. He said, son, there's somebody for everybody. David ran up against a giant that wasn't concerned about his past victories, but that wanted to destroy him. The Bible says that Ishbi-Benob was girded with a new sword, something David had never seen before, a weapon that he wasn't equipped to combat against, a giant that didn't belong to him. And he had the mighty King David right where he wanted him. But the Bible says, verse 17, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. You see, they were fighting for their future. They were fighting for the vision of that day. They were fighting for the blueprint. They wanted to make sure that the kingdom would move forward. They wanted to protect the plan of God. And I'm reminded of a story of Elisha and Joash in 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14, the Bible says, now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he puts his hand upon it. And Elisha puts his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians at Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And every time I read this story, I can never forget where I was standing when Brother Tiller was preaching at Peak. I can take you to the spot in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Spirit Bank Arena when he was preaching this message, and it was hitting me so hard that night. He was preaching about this story, and he grabbed somebody up, and he brought him on stage. And he said, face the people. Face the people. I love you, man. He said, take bow and arrow. Pick up your bow and arrow. And he said, hold it towards the window eastward. Which way is east? If I'm going to Atlanta, it's this way, huh? Okay. Y'all just walk with me for a little while. We working this out. I grew up in the gym. I ain't had a compass. So he's got, and he told him, he came over him. He said, the Bible says that Elisha grabbed the new king and he put his hands on his hands. And Brother Tiller preached it this way. He said, we need old men's wisdom, but we need young men's strength. Thank you. And what he's saying is, you may not be able to pull the bow back like you used to, but that's why we've got young men. But hold on, young person. Hold on for just a second. We need old men's wisdom. We need old men to tell us which direction to shoot. We need old men to let us know. And we need old men's wisdom. And we need old men's understanding. And we need some people that's walked this out for just a little while to let us know which way we need to go. They might not be able to pick up the tool anymore. They might not be able to pull it back like they used to. They might have a difficult time doing it. But that's why we got young men. That's why we got young men that's got to get on board with the plan of God and the will of God. But hold tight. Don't just pick up the bow without understanding. Don't just pick up the bow without wisdom. You got to get up under an apostolic pastor and you've got to let him know, God, pastor, tell me which way I need to shoot. Let me know. You walked some battles. You walked in some battles that I've never been in. I might got one or two victories, but you've got a trail of victories. And I need to know which way to shoot. And I need to know which way to go. And I need to know how to lead my family. We need young men to get up under the burden and the responsibility of this time. And get up under the burden like David did, who was a young man, and there had never been anybody that did what he did. But it didn't matter to David, because when you get a relationship with God, when you get a relationship with God, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. I need somebody preaching the word of God to me and telling me which way to shoot it. I need somebody preaching the word of God to me and telling me what's right and telling me which way I can walk and telling me where all the pitfalls are. We got an advantage, young people. We get to go behind. We get to watch the mistakes. We get to watch all the victories. And when they have victories, we can say, I need to step over here just a little bit and walk this way because this will secure a victory for me. And when we see the failures of people, then we can get behind the people and say, no, this is not the right way. But I'm going to find somebody in the house of God that's walking this thing out right, that's doing the will of God, that's doing the plan of God. We need understanding. We need direction. We need to know which way to go. But we got to use that strength. Micah, as long as you got it, you got to use that strength in the house of the Lord. You've got to give everything that you've got to the house of the Lord. You've got to give everything that you've got to your family and the house of the Lord. And when you have babies walking around, you've got to bring them into the house of the Lord. And you've got to show them how to kill some giants. You've got to show them this is the way to walk. Because they're going to do everything that you do. They're going to go everywhere that you go. And as they're walking behind you, always remember, I got to find true north. I got to find what the word of God says. I got to get up against the pulpit and listen to the man of God preach one more time so that I can find myself squared up with the word of God. Somebody say amen in the house of the Lord. So we got to have that direction. We've got to have that understanding. We've got to know which way to go. We can't just do this based off of our strength. We need everything. We got to have the strength, Sam. We got to have the muscle. We got to be able to get up under the burden of revival. But at the same time, we got to make sure we're turning the boat the right way. We got to make sure we're driving the car the right way. We got to make sure we're not making a left when the pastor says to make a right. We got to make sure we're holding up the precepts and the principles of God. Somebody clap your hands right now. We need the direction of the generation down the road just a little bit. We need a head coach that'll call the play,
that's used to the battle, but that'll call the play. And we need people, players, that'll run the play. We need people, laborers, that'll get in the field of God and start working in the field of God and just listening to the commands and listening to the direction and saying, okay, if this is what needs to be done, by God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand in the house of the Lord and I'm going to do whatever is asked of me. We got to do the work. We got to fight the battles. We've got to bear the sword. I believe they were saying, David, thank you. Thank you for your service. But these giants belong to us. Thank you for the battles that you fought. Thank you for the victories that you won. Thank you for all of the times when you had to step out on the battlefield, understanding that life could be lost, putting your life on the line, putting it all on the line. Thank you for all of that. But these giants, they belong to me. These giants, I got to take care of. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, there are some giants in this day that belong to you, that you've got to confront, that we can't just look at the men of the old and say, can you please come back in this day? No, sir, no, ma'am. These giants belong to you. My God, my God. These giants belong to us. These giants belong to this generation. We got to figure this out. We got to get in the prayer room. We've got to fast. We've got to do the things of God. We've got to get on our faces, and we've got to figure out which direction we need to go based off of what the Word of God says. This is one of the biggest giants that we are facing. It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be handled. I don't know the answers. However, I understand these giants belong to me. I've got kids following me. My children are following me. I've got a little girl, a little boy, and an unborn child standing behind me. And as they stand behind me, dad has got to fight some giants, and dad has got to confront some spirits. You got to go to your home tonight and you got to confront some giants. You've got to get some stuff out of your house. You've got to start to understand that you're not going to be able to see the success of the Lord if you don't get in your house and you don't rip out every giant that's been tearing down your family. You may have lost some battles. You may have let some slip. However, go home tonight and become a giant killer. Go home tonight and say, not on my watch. I've got to take care of the remnant. I've got to take care of what remains. Yes, sir. Lift up your voice right now. Cry out to God right now.
Mighty God, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
You got to tear some stuff down tonight. You've got to get back to the house. And you've got to say, we can't continue to do this in this house. I mean, the Holy Ghost is up. If I've ever been before, I'm telling somebody right now, under the sound of my voice, please heed the word of God. One of the things about Abishai that we'll find is that Abishai was able to identify what type of giant he was facing. I can see Abishai and David around the campfire talking about the arts and exercises of war, and him asking David the question about the sling and how to use the sling and how he did it and how was the battle with Goliath and how was the battle with the Moabites and how was the battle against the Syrians. And I can see them talking about how he used the sling. And I guarantee you, you can bet your last dollar that Abishai was trained with the sling. But there'll come a point of time when the sling will only work for certain things. And you've got it. This generation has to figure out some new weapons. Not changing the method. I mean the message. Not changing the doctrine. But we've got to morph. Because these giants are morphing. We find a giant that it talks about in the Word of God, with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. This is some different stuff. We fighting up against some new stuff. When he talked to, when Abishai slew Ishbibenob, the Bible says that Ishbibenob was girded with a new sword. David may have not seen this before, but Abishai, he knew what time it was. He knew that this weapon, this is something different. I've gotta grow this thing, and I've gotta stand on the shoulders of those that go before me, and I've gotta further the kingdom of God and find new weaponry. I've gotta get in prayer. I've gotta get in the word, and I've gotta figure out how I can take this thing to the next level. And I've gotta be able to identify who I'm fighting against. Because if we don't identify who we're fighting against, it'll end up in our home and in our pocket. We got to be able to identify what a giant is. My God, help us tonight, Jesus. Help us, oh God. Praise God. Help us in this house, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us in this house. Jesus, help us, oh God. My God. So Abishai was able to identify what type of giant he was facing. And I'm sure on the way, he had the sling in hand ready to go. And I'm just using a little creative liberty. But he had the sling ready to go. And then he looks and realizes, this kind is different. I think of the word of God where it says, why couldn't we cast them out? Because this kind, we got to get some different weapons. We got to figure out another method. And so as we're going to the battle and Abishai is running to the battle, he has the sling and he has to throw it aside. And he has to go and get other weapons that he's developed. And he has to kill Ishbibenob with a new sword or with a new weapon. Another thing that we find about Abishai is that Abishai was close enough to be able to be there when David needed him. Proximity leads to coordinated action. If you want to be a giant killer, you've got to spend time with giant killers. If you want to slay some giants in this day, you can't be on the edge of this thing. You've got to get in the middle of this thing. And you've got to say, I got to get as close to the pulpit as I can. I've got to get as close to the house of God as I can. Every time the door is open, you're going to find me there. If pastor's teaching somewhere, I'm going to find my way to sit at his table. Because pastor's killed some giants. We don't sit here without a battle. There is an open door, but there are many adversaries. And we got to learn how to fight because these giants belong to us. They come to the music. I'm done preaching. My God in heaven, help us, Jesus. My God. Here's what I want to do. Youth, college and career, young marrieds, if you could spread out as far as you can to be quarantined on the pulpit right now, I'm not on the platform, and you believe what I'm preaching. I'm not just preaching, let's be giant killers and go win the world. Listen, there is a responsibility to this stuff. I want people that are willing and ready, if you're under 40, to come up on this stage. If you're ready to slay some giants tonight, my God, help us, Jesus, help us, mighty God. Thank you.
want to tell the older generation that God is raising, he's raising up some giant killers in this house tonight. That God is raising up a group that's serious about revival. That God is raising up a group that's willing to walk this thing out. Here's what we're going to do. In unison, I want you to let out a war cry to let the enemy know. Let the city know. Let hell know that there are some giant killers in this house right now. On the count of three. One, two, three. Everybody lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice unto heaven right now. God will walk it out. God will do it. God will go where you say go. God will change lives. God will slay giants in the city. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up a shout right now. Let it thunder in the heavens right now. There you go. Cry out to him right now. Cry out to him right now. Lift up a shout right now. Thank you.
At the exit of every generation, God always raises up another generation. Think about Aaron. God tells Moses, says, take Aaron to the top of the hill. The Bible says that he strips the garment off of Aaron and he places it on his son, Eleazar. At every turn, Moses is dead. Joshua rises. Elijah is dead. But there's always an Elisha that's willing to carry on the burden and the responsibility of the kingdom of God. And I believe in this house, we've come to a time right now for some giant killers to arise. One more time, all over this house, lift up your voice to heaven right now. Mighty God, we love you, Jesus. We magnify you, oh God. Thank you.
Dim the lights. Step off of this platform and find a place to pray tonight. I'm telling you, there's victory in this house. There's deliverance in this house. Oh, I feel the spirit of what Bishop Wilson preached at Power to Become this last year. I'm telling you, God is looking for a Phineas in this place who will stake some things to the ground, who will say, God, I'll put it all on the line. I'll lay my convenience on the side. I'll lay my pride on the side. I'll lay down everything that is familiar to me, and I will come under the burden of revival for this city, for my generation. Come on, somebody cry out to God tonight in the name of Jesus. Somebody cry out to God. With an altar. Somebody tonight may be building an altar in your life for the very first time. Come on, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God, I lay my life on the altar. I lay my family on the altar. God, I lay movies on the altar tonight. God is calling a young person tonight to lay video games on the altar. Come on, let something break in your spirit tonight. God, I want my family to be saved. God, I want my children to be saved. God, I want my generation to be saved. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes, oh God, whatever it takes, oh God. breakthrough in your home, a breakthrough in your family, a breakthrough in your community. Somebody cry out right now. God, breakthrough for my family. Come on, I'm telling you, I feel some generational things in this place. I'm telling you, there's some things that have plagued families for a long time. I see some people facing walls of opposition. And you say that wall is indomitable in my mind and in my spirit. These are things my parents could not defeat. These are things that the generation before me would not confront. But I'm telling you, in this place tonight, I see a crack at the base of that wall. I see the Holy Ghost saying, if you will rise up and confront those things, if you will begin to strike that wall, that small crack at the base of that wall will become a mighty fissure in the Holy Ghost. And there's going to be a day when your babies are going to step across the fragments of things that you confronted, and they're going to have victory and they're going to have deliverance because you are willing to fight things that maybe somebody before you couldn't fight. Somebody in this place tonight, that miracles are still being performed, that God is still toppling giants, that with the help of God, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that already is working in you. Jessica, I want you to come and sing. Renee, I want you to come and sing. There's a spirit of ministry that's moving in this place tonight. We're going to take it to another level here in the next few moments. They're going to begin to sing. I'm just telling you, I feel liberty in this place. Mountains are still being moved. I want somebody in here to envision the very thing that has plagued your family. Come on, the thing that you have heard over and over and over again lift itself up in defiance against the kingdom of God coming into your life. I'm telling you, there's a generation that has gone before us. There are some things that have impenetrated themselves in the minds and hearts and families that have gone before us. But God is looking tonight for some people who are willing to confront things and say, not in my generation, not in my home, not in my family, not in my... I'm telling you, there is a holy boldness that is settling on this house. God is looking for somebody who will rise up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen in this place. Come on, there's a spirit of Deborah in this house tonight that says, not my babies, not my family, not those coming after me. It's gonna stop with me in the name of Jesus.
I know it will.
With Jesus it will happen.
All power is
need an intercessor to find somebody to link up with and pray an anointed prayer over in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, it will happen. It will. so that